Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this morning on the first scripture lesson. It's from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they said. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Lord Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, dear fellow descendants of Abraham, the father of all believers. 26 years ago, you wouldn't have to wonder what was on my mind and the mind of my new bride. Have you ever wanted something so bad in all the world that there was nothing more important in the whole wide world? Something that you wanted just from the depths of your heart. It was very hard for us because when we got married, we wanted the gift of children. And being at the seminary at the time, there were babies popping out all over. Every time we got together with our fellow seminary students, the SemGems in particular, as they call the wives of seminary students, they talked about babies. Having children, raising children, taking care of children, nursing children, on and on and on. And for my dear wife to be there and listen to that, I found out what some of these women went through, longing for children in Old Testament times when they felt barren. The barren woman. And I can remember praying for my wife the way the patriarchs prayed for theirs. And you know, we look back on it now, a couple of years. But what if all these years of our marriage had passed and still the Lord had not blessed us with a son and three daughters now nearly grown? Then we would have a little bit of a taste of what Abraham and Sarah were feeling. Because the Lord's promise came to Abraham that he would become a great nation. I will make you into a great nation, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham was 75 years old. Now, about the length of our marriage later, they're still waiting. But they're not just waiting for a family. Because the Lord had attached to that son of the promise the salvation of the world. Would you again tell me who could make this up? Who could write this imaginative story in the Bible and then just pass it off as something that we're just supposed to believe to be religious idiots? 25 years of waiting. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That little baby that their aging arms ache to hold was the son of the promise of salvation for the whole world and for them too. That's why we cannot begin to feel what it must have been like for them to go decade after decade without that child, without that son. How would you expect them to react when the Lord's promise finally came true? What do they do here? Sarah here and Abraham in the chapter just before this. It would be unbelievable their reaction if it wasn't so that we do the same thing. When the Lord finally blesses, I've heard this over and over again from fellow Christians. It's happened to me. When you long for something for so long and finally the Lord grants it, you doubt, you fear, you feel guilty. You may not even believe what's happening when the Lord is finally bringing His promise true. We have to be taught, as did Abraham and Sarah in ancient times, to trust the Lord's kindness. Trust the Lord's kindness in something that is fast disappearing from our culture. I felt it going into Asian homes, not just the Chinese now, but the Hmong in West St. Paul. I remember going with Lauren Steele to call on a family with him, and they did not want to let us leave until they had used the last rice in the house to cook a full-fledged meal that would have kept us there for several hours. It was everything we could do to convince them to just let us go. Sadly, the Chinese that come to America have that hospitality when they come. But the longer they're here, we don't become like them. They become Americanized. Less and less part of that culture that just says, you're at my house, and this quick hospitality that the father of all believers did not have to have someone teach him. Abraham, near the great trees of Mamre, markers out there on the landscape. Heat of the day when you'd rather just keep sitting in the shade. He looks up, three visitors, no one has to tell him what to do. He's up. He's greeting them. He hurries over to them, and he's hurrying all through these early verses here, hurrying here and there. He goes out to meet them. He bows low to the ground, and you hear how he puts this. Not in a way like he's put out, like when someone comes to our door, and I'm not talking about you here. He's so glad to have them there, and he's so eager to serve. He makes it sound as if they're going to be doing him a favor if they will just let him play host. Do you hear that? He bows low to the ground. He says, if I have found favor in your eyes, the Hebrew word there, chen, we translate grace in many places. If I found grace in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. That's what they did, because they're not driving in air-conditioned cars with their feet on carpeted floors. They're walking in sandals or barefoot, and their feet are dirty, so you wash their feet. You'll wash your feet. You'll rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat, because McDonald's, too far down the road. So just rest under this tree. You can eat and then be refreshed and go on your way. And now that you have come to your servant. quick hospitality. Doesn't have to be taught. It's just the way the Father of all believers reacts in faith-born love. No command of God that we know of that said you have to do this. In fact, that would have squelched it. It's the good news of knowing we have a God who created us and loves us with an everlasting love, and the Savior to come, that promise of a Son, has got his faith so alive that it springs into action, and he goes to work. So maybe you were a little bit bothered by the first person he speaks to. Very well, they answered, do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. If that were an American woman, even if she wasn't 89 years old, and even if she wasn't watching a soap opera or something, speaking in stereotypes here, she'd say, hey, you get the bread yourself. Or at the very least, what are you going to be doing while I'm doing all this work? You look at yourself as an American woman in the light of God's law, and it's not a pretty sight. This has been so drummed out of our culture that it's very hard for an American woman to feel good about 3 men suddenly there on their doorstep. And Martha, with the Lord Jesus herself in our gospel lesson and his disciples, I mean, 12 men show up on your doorstep with the Lord himself, I think you'd be running pretty hard. And maybe just a little bit put out that your sister's not up helping you. But look at Sarah. Not a word. I don't know what she was thinking, except that the Holy Spirit, back in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, talking about women not relying on the outward adornments for their beauty, but having this beauty of that inner spirit, the Holy Spirit points us to Sarah. In 1 Peter chapter 3, this, by the way, is great for women with unbelieving husbands at home. If you want to know how to deal with that situation, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In verses 5 and 6, it says, this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. Not outside adornments, but on the inside. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. It takes great courage to be a God-fearing woman in any age, and in ours in particular, to not give in to that fear of being taken advantage of, as Martha was being taken advantage of by her sister Mary, or your man at home, and to serve the Lord instead of serving man. Isn't that the key that Sarah was doing? She's serving her Lord God first, and so she calls Abraham her master. She's a submissive wife, and it's a beautiful thing in Scripture, and when you look at that and you see such a difference between that and yourself, you say, Lord, forgive me. I'm looking at my sin. Forgive me for Jesus' sake and make me more like you, dear Jesus. Because the next few verses put us men in trouble. So what did Abraham do? Like an American man, get the wife working and go sit down and you talk to the visitors there, sit, kick back, have a beer, just wait, you know. Let the slave do the work. Oh, Abraham had slaves. This is a wealthy man. Don't kid yourself. He is one of the wealthiest men in that part of the world at the time. But he would not sit down. He's hurrying. He gets the whole family involved. He's seeing his wife as an extension of himself. So he gets her started, but now he's got work to go. He hurries out to the servant. He runs to the herd. Abraham himself, he selects the choice tender calf and gave it to the servant to dress it and prepare it. Abraham goes to get the curds and the milk and the calf that had been prepared, and Abraham does the servant's work of the slave. Abraham is the waiter here. He is the host. He considers this his duty, his honor. He puts it out before the guests, and he does not even consider himself worthy to sit down and eat with them. You know where Abraham was while they ate? He's standing off to the side where the slaves would stand in honor of his guests. And when we American men see a man like Abraham with this kind of faith-born love that will not sit still, will not give his duty and his work to others, it puts me to shame. That's not what I saw growing up. This is not my nature. And I have to go to my dear Lord God and say, I am seeing my sin here. I am seeing my weakness as a man. Lord, forgive me. Wash this sin away. Make me like Jesus. I have seen American men who will not sit still and will help their wives. They are a team that do that work and are beautiful hosts. But I must confess, that is not part of my upbringing. I pray God to make it more so, because he's the father of all believers there, Abraham. And when I begin to despair of that goodness that I wish I could see in myself, and I go back to the cross, and I see what God did with those ugly, selfish sins of mine, my heart is warmed and comforted by the mercy of God that promised to send a Savior and did so, and then says, when God looks at me in my baptism, when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees Abraham and Sarah in all their faith-born love and beauty when he looks at all of us as God's sons and daughters to this day. That's what God chooses to see, his righteousness in us by virtue of our Christian baptism. He does not judge us in our righteousness or treat us as our sins deserve. He mercifully and graciously judges us in his own righteousness and then says, go and do thou likewise. Trust the kindness of the Lord. It's his quick hospitality that is our joy and gladness. And it is his covenant promise that keeps our faith alive to this day. Where is your wife Sarah, they asked. There in the tent. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Remember where we are. I just celebrated the halfway point to as old as Abraham was when that son was finally born. He's 100. Imagine that. 25 years of waiting. Now the Lord is saying, here we are. Sarah will have a son at the appointed time. Literally in the Hebrew, it's the time of life. They knew the 9-month gestation period in those days too. They had it figured out. That son is coming. Your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Now, do you realize all the things that Abraham and Sarah had tried to do up to this point to bring that promise about? Abraham had suggested to the Lord, maybe my servant Eliezer can father a child, because this was done in those days. The servant would have a son, and it was credited to the master. The Lord says, no, from your own body. So they tried again. Sarah suggested, well, take my servant girl, Hagar, have a son by her. We'll call it mine, but it'll obviously be from your body. Then we'll bring about the promise. That was 13 years before this. Ishmael was born, and the Lord said, no. Not Ishmael. That will not be the son. It will not be the son of man's effort and work, or his ideas, or his biological understanding. Hagar and Ishmael, Hagar in particular, is a picture of Mount Sinai and the work of man in the law. In Galatians, that's an allegory that the Lord uses through the Apostle Paul. But Sarah, the one that would have this miracle baby, the child of the promise, she's our mother. The new Jerusalem, as she pictures. The promise that comes down from God, the son of the miracle. Not by your work, Abraham. Now, she listens, and then what would you do? You're 89 years old, your husband's 99, and it's going to be 90 and 100 by the time this comes about. That's what Abraham did when he heard this in the chapter beforehand. He hears the announcement, and he laughed, and now Sarah laughs. I think it's interesting, isn't it, in our lives of sanctification that as Christians, how we grow at different points in our life and different areas of our life, where one will be strong like Sarah, and Abraham and that beautiful submissive hospitality, they're so strong in that area. But when the Lord finally brings his promise true of his Savior, they're backing away from it and they're laughing about it in doubt. And you know that Sarah's not done here because, you know, she laughs, you know, she talks about the biological facts here. After I'm worn out, I'm going to have this pleasure. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say in herself, but he's God, he knows what she said in her own mind, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid. She hears all this, she lies. Now, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. He corrects her. You did laugh. What should God do at that point when he's got this couple, all these promises all those years, and finally it's going to come true, and now they're laughing at him? You ever have somebody laugh at you about something really important? I know what I very, you know, just turn around and walk away if you don't blister them with your mouth. Not the Lord. This is determined love. The Hebrew word is not in this text, but it's all over the Old Testament. That word chesed, I've told you about that before. In the New International Version, it's translated unfailing love. In the King James, it's loving kindness. It's this chesed of the Lord that makes promises that are just so outside of the realm of nature that only God could make the promise and only God bring it about. But even when his own people try to get in the way of his promise, he is so determined in his chesed, his loving kindness, that he will carry it out with humor. What was the name of that son? I mentioned him before. What does that name mean in Hebrew? If you look it up in your Bible and you look in the footnote, the New International Version will help you on that. You've maybe heard it. It's still a name used among the Israelis today. It's a famous name. Yitzhak. Which means he laughs. So Abraham laughs. Sarah laughs. The Lord keeps his promise anyway because this is the salvation of us. And every time this old woman took that baby in her arms, she's looking into the face of the baby named He Laughs. And she doesn't miss the point. Because you look at Sarah a few chapters later after Isaac is born, she's talking about this, how she had laughed and now she's laughing really. With joy and gladness that the Lord brought about his promise anyway. You trust the kindness of the Lord because in spite of all of our sins, our weaknesses, our failures day after day, he will not fail. He does not fail to make the promises in the first place. He does not fail to keep them. He's looking forward to the day when he can show us the quick hospitality of Jesus Christ himself in the banquet hall of heaven where Jesus says he will be dressed to serve. He's looking forward to the day when at last all of his covenant promises come true in spite of us and without any input from us, purely out of the grace and mercy and the loving kindness of God. He's looking forward to the day when he welcomes us home. God, speed the day and glorify your name of loving kindness. Amen. Please rise.